You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app. Allow push notifications and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO. It's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
To this day, even I am 40 years old. Mm-hmm. I still have fond memories of Mrs. Bush, Mrs. Dunn, Mr. Rogers, Mr. Bogdanovich, Mr. Sackett. You know, these are teachers, like some of the teachers never even taught me in a class, but they were teachers who showed an interest in me. And I still connect. Miss Maben, she was my AP biology teacher. She wrote my letter of recommendation to MIT. They're still connected to this day. And you know, these teachers had such a huge impact on me, and I think that is so important. That's why I was so happy when my son finally got a teacher that he doesn't come home crying about. He comes home, he's like, oh, my teacher loves soccer, my teacher this, that, and the other. And it's like, how can you teach your kids and not become friends with your kids? Like, all right, so you've been listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show. This is a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, please go to SEO Queen and book a complimentary strategy session at SEOQueen.com. And also note that we have our Reach More Clients Power Conference coming up on July 22nd of this year. It's going to be off the chain. So here with me, I have the founder of equation2success.com. His name is Kimmy, and he is a professor who is very passionate about student achievement, specifically in the subject of math. And I just wanted to talk to him about what he's doing with technology and just the many partnerships he has with USC and LAUSD to move the education of our babies forward. So welcome, Kimmy, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. You pronounced it Kimai. You're good.
Kimai. You said that. You got. You know what? You corrected me first. I'm going to remember that one. Is it? I'm a phonetic.
Think of Kimai. Kimai. You got it. You're good.
All right. I got it now. I wrote it phonetically for me, so I'll remember. All right, Kimai. So what made you become a teacher?
Ooh, that's a rich question. I never saw myself in this. Actually, I wanted to be a pediatrician. Growing up, I have asthma. And so my goal was to cure asthma for kids like myself. And so after undergrad, I actually went into the corporate world, worked for a Fortune 500 company car, making amazing money. But I always felt unfulfilled. And I remember having a conversation with some mentors, and some mentors honestly said, yo, Kimai, we never really saw you in the corporate world. We saw you in education throughout your undergraduate career. You were always going to schools, helping kids, tutoring kids, mentoring kids. And so they said, we just see you in education. And I said, you know what? Maybe there's something to this. And so I took a leave of absence for my position. And I looked and researched all the tests that I needed to take to become an educator. And passed them all. And that was my foray into teaching. So I left my Fortune 500 company and landed in a second grade classroom in Compton Unified School District.
Okay, so you started teaching second grade in Compton Unified School District. Now, I know my listeners are going to want to know, what was that like?
Ooh, so I will say it was an amazing place to be. Compton Unified School District at the time that I was there was under state receivership. So if you know anything about that, you know, they really, the state now is really has their eyes on the school district because they are on a performance improvement plan. And so a lot of key places need to, a lot of key things need to happen to make the school move, the school district in totality, move to raising academic achievement for the students that attend that school district. And I would say my fondest memory of working at Compton Unified School District is that I worked with an amazing second grade team. And also I have to say personally at the time, because I had transitioned from this Fortune 500 company right to second grade, I also said, I got to do right by these kids and I got to do right by my babies. So let me hop in a master's program. So I immediately got into grad school.
Oh, wow.
One of the things, so here I am, brand new teacher, brand new master's program, right? And I look back on it now, I think I was
sleeping. You were crazy. You were crazy.
Crazy. I think I would sleep in maybe 2 or 3 hours because I would leave work and then have evening classes and then have study groups with the homies and then always trying to figure out how can I make it better and make my kids have a and allow my kids to have an enriching time when they experience instruction. So I'm playing in the middle of the night and literally I would go to sleep and a couple hours later, it's time to get up. I look back on that now, I'm saying, how did I do that, Jay? But now I'm like, there's no way I could possibly do that. Right. I love my I wouldn't sleep too much.
You're young and energized.
Yeah. And so one of the reasons I will say in elementary was actually by accident. What happened, they really wanted to place me in high school. Mm-hmm. And I went home and told my family, we just started having conversations about, I was really young. And so I was like, I was really close in age to those high school students. So I was like only a couple of years apart. And I was like, yeah, I think let me go down to the elementary age students where there's a nice age gap. And I think I could do some great, amazing things. And so one of the things about my graduate program, it just gave me an opportunity to do some out of the box thinking and learning. And so one of the things that I love about my graduate program, which really helped me become an amazing teacher that I am, amazing educator that I am today, is we had methods classes. So, you know, your science methods classes, your math methods classes, what they would do is they would actually bring in a cohort of students from a school site and they would tell us what the syllabi, what we got to do, all our requirements and papers and projects and everything that we have to do. And then they would say, they would open up the door and say, and here are your students for this semester. And in come these students and you got to figure it out. You got to figure out how to teach these kids, whatever that methods class was, whether it was mathematics, whether it was history, whether it was science. And you had kids who were low performing. You had some kids in your group that were high performing, some kids who had autism, some kids who had Asperger's, some kids who have cognitive processing delays. And as a student, I had to figure it out. And so I really, and a lot of the things that I was learning in my graduate program, I immediately took back to my classroom.
That's incredible.
And so whatever I was learning, because I was just like, I gotta make sure my babies get the exact thing that I'm learning. So I'd learn something on a Monday night and I'm like, all right, Wednesday, I'm trying this real time in the class and let's go and let's try it out and see if it sticks and see if it works. So I had a great time. Like second grade, I got to hug on my kids, that high five them. You know, it was just such a beautiful experience for me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So now when you look at the current educational climate after everything that's happened with COVID, you know, our kids were on Zoom. They didn't really learn anything. So explain to me, like, where do we go from here? What does 5 years from now look like as a math educator? Like, how has your work brought us to this moment and how is it being used to help bolster student achievement?
What I will say about COVID, COVID did for me as an educator and someone who studied this and researches education and writes about education, right? COVID for me, as I look at it as it relates to Black children, as it relates to communities of color, what COVID did was just pull the sheet off of an already existing problem. And it just let the world know, hey, we got a problem with literacy. Hey, we got a problem with math, right? It was already there. There were a lot of issues, and I've been talking about pre-COVID. I've really been dealing with my entire teaching career. I was having a conversation with one of my former professors, and I was having a conversation with her, and she's a former educator herself. And she says, wow, and I explain the state of some schools, and she says, these exact same things are still going on. And I said, exactly. What right. you face as a beginning teacher is still going on, and what I face as a beginning teacher still is going on. So what I think has happened now, we've got to deal with a few realities that COVID has now happened. Because children are at home, their attention span has definitely decreased. But also that means we also have to reimagine what education looks like. It can't look like how we experienced education when we went to school. We now have to think about how we're infusing technology. And I say infusing, not letting technology babysit our kids, not letting technology overtake our kids, but how mm-hmm. do we do a harmonious blend of blending the real world application with the technology? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that's really key, right? Because one of the concepts when we talk about mathematics is, when I go and work with students, I really want to make sure kids have a conceptual understanding of what they're doing, right? What, when you talk about division, what really is that? I was working with an elementary school, and I teach them the concept of division through sharing. I don't start them with an algorithm. I don't start them with the traditional method of subtraction. And I put some things in front of them, and I'm like, let's share. How many people in your group? Let's talk about what's that process. I increase the number of group members. Then I increase the number of objects they have, because I want my students to be able to tell me what a dividend is, tell me what a divisor is doing, and tell me what a quotient is. So I really want them to understand and give, because for me, math is a language. And so I want my kids to be able to not just spit out an algorithm, because everybody can do that, right? And we know this because we always are talking about underrepresentation in STEM, but mm-hmm. we have that problem because in K-12, we're so fixated on having kids remember and regurgitate algorithms, but by the time they get to universities, undergraduate and graduate school, they're asking them a very different question, not can you solve the problem and give me the answer, what are the steps it takes for me to even engage this problem? So they are asking a very different question, and most of our kids can't do that, because most of our kids, and particularly in Black communities and communities of color, it's always about how much the teacher knows. And so my job as an educator is saying, how do we flip instruction to where you're centering and you're prioritizing student knowledge so they own their own, they can create their own voice, and you listen to their voice and you help shape and mold and cultivate. Because when I stand in front of kids, it's not about how much I know. I have my degrees, right? But it's really about how can I create a moment and create an experience where I'm tapping into your individual knowledge and bringing it out and honoring it and prioritizing your voice. That's key. And I think in COVID times, we're missing that. We're missing that piece.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head with, you know, really helping student achievement by really centering them. I know for me, like, I've noticed my son, like, he'll do work. He's worked on his homework and he didn't get it, and then I'll ask him certain questions and he'll get it. And it's about the context. It's about them connecting those concepts, because when you talk to my son, he's brilliant. You know, mm-hmm. our children are smart. Mm-hmm. You know, they hear a song once on the radio and they can memorize it. You know, yeah. Our children are they're no slouches, but our institutions, the way we teach more often than not, it's joyless and it doesn't speak to the children as an individual. So they don't care. They don't have that connection. And so,
yeah. And part of that problem, Zay, is I always do this activity when I'm training administrators and educators. I actually walk them through their own identities. And you would be surprised how so many educators who want to do the right thing, I don't believe people go into education to do harm to children. But when they don't have a strong grip on who they are as individuals, that mm-hmm. shows up in the classroom. Case mm-hmm. in point, I use my own self. When I started teaching, I grew up in a working middle class family. So you're looking at a guy who went into preschool knowing how to read. That's because I was reading with my great grandmother. I was reading with my grandmother. I was reading with my grandpa. I was reading with my mom, aunts, uncle. I was reading with everybody. Mm-hmm. And so by the time mm-hmm. I went into school, it was like, what you got? And right. they want to do the A and I and nah, where's the essence? No, like where's the LA time? Right? I've been reading this with my family. And so part of it was that I was so loved and nurtured in the context of my family that I had just a strong sense of, all right, I can do this. That showed up, Zay, in the classroom. When I started teaching, I was in tears. I remember calling my mom in tears, like, Mom, how am I teaching second graders that don't know how to read? And she's like, you better figure it out, right? Because you're there to help them. But there was a disconnect. I had to unpack my childhood versus what the communities that I was now teaching in.
Right.
And sometimes.
And as a Black man, that's like, wow, that's like mind blowing.
Yeah. And so, you know, I remember I thought I was doing this amazing thing. Like, Zay, I set my whole classroom up like a beach. I had pails. I had sand. I brought in all I tricked it all the way out, thinking my kids are going to have an amazing time when they experience this. Right. Uh-huh. And my kids walked in like, yo, dog, what is this? Not taking into account, my kids had never left their neighborhood. So what I was physically showing,
they had never been to a beach,
never experienced.
So wow, they didn't know what it, you were. Wow.
When I was a kid, I'd already been there. You know, not only in LA, but travel, right? Hawaii, right? All of these different things. Wow. And so I tell people I really work deeply with educators in their identity because that stuff shows up in the classroom.
Incredible.
If we don't correct it mm-hmm. and we don't unpack it and we don't talk about it, Black and brown educators can reify inequalities the same way anybody else can. And even do more harm and damage.
Oh my God.
And so, you know, it shows up. I when I talk to educators and I'm in a room, tell me about you. And stuff shows up. Like, I always went to my dad when I needed help with my math homework. That's going to show up. So 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to marginalize Black and brown girls in your classroom when you start teaching them math. We don't begin to make those connections. This stuff shows up. It shows up in a great and powerful way. And so with my firm, really what I do is, you know, folks want me to come in and say, hey, we want to raise achievement. Mm-hmm. It sounds great. That's the big push. Mm-hmm. But really to raise achievement in your school, we got to go deeper. We got to go deeper on, hey, administrators, what kind of environment are you cultivating?
I need you to come and talk to my PTA.
Hey, educator,
come and talk to our PTA.
Yeah, let's go because
I need you to, because this is so like, wow. I want to know, like, I know you, I don't want to cut you off, but I just want to know, how do you make the connection from teaching second grade to becoming an educational consultant and being an entrepreneur? Like, how did you make that step?
That was a journey. And so, you know, from elementary, you know, I got my feet wet in middle school. I got my feet wet in high school. And then I helped develop math and science curriculum for a charter school in South LA that was trying to trying to meet the needs of alternative learners, students who have been pushed out of traditional high schools, up there, and then moved to UCLA, where I was education director for a nanotechnology engineering research center in collaboration with the National Science Foundation, to now then move right, and then moving and becoming a professor in the Charter College of Education at Cal State LA, where my focus was on math education, but more broadly also taught in doctoral level classes where, you know, about race and gender and equity stuff, right?
I mean, I think the way you talk about, you know, DEI and education is so important, because we all have our own perspective and lived experiences. And I don't even want to say biases, because these are just our experiences, our stories that we bring to everything that we do. And just being aware that, you know, other people have different experiences, and that impacts how they receive education.
That's just
to me, that's just like, that's common sense.
And it shows up, and but people don't really understand and think deeply about how it shows up, right? I'm constantly always reflecting. One of the practices I love when I work with schools is to really just embed this reflection piece, whether it's whether I'm professionally developing them on a math concept or showing them a demo lesson. We always have reflection time. We always have a time to debrief, because that's where the power comes in. And this one's where you were talking about early, what seems like common sense, it ain't so common for so many people. Because it shows up and people say, you know what? I didn't realize that I was doing that. Or you know what? This is why I'm doing this, right? Because I really love, when I talk to educators, the biggest thing that I want to know about them, who they are. Because who they are and how they experience schooling in their own journey tells me a lot, right? I know it impacts me, you know, even though I went through private schools from preschool all the way up to 12th grade, right? I was other a lot of time. There was also the assumption, well, you're in a private school, your parents are paying for this, you're going to do great. You're going to go to college. There was a lot of assumptions made about me as just a Black man going through that. And I talk a lot about that in my book, where I kind of chronicle not only my journey, but I intertwine that with other Black boys who are going through some of the same things that I did.
What's the name of your book?
Black Boys Lived in Everyday Experiences in STEM.
Get that book?
Man, you can get it Amazon, BarnesandNobles.com.
Is there an Audible version?
Everybody's saying that I should do that. I'm working on that.
Well, you should, because I pay, you know, I have a membership. I get Audible credits every month.
Oh, okay.
My books. So when something, I'm like, oh, let me just get that real quick.
Yeah, my good buddy, Alton Glass, shout out Alton Glass. He says, Kimai, you need an audio of this
book. And most people who really would read your book are busy doing 1,001 things, so they need it to be audio, because they can't sit and drive and read a book.
And see, Jay, it's just the nerd in me. I'm old school. I love to turn pages, and so that's probably why
you're behind me. I love to do that, but I turn pages behind on vacation.
All these books behind me, you see all these books. So I really need to get into the Audible, because I could probably knock out a lot of books that I got behind me that I have not gotten to yet. But that's important to me, really. It's really centering the educator to do that work with them so they can begin to center their students.
You see my background?
I see it. I love it. There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
This is one of three bookshelves in my house.
Come on. Come through. That's it. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
I love books. So my next question to you is, when it comes to technology, how are you using technology to close achievement gap and bolster achievement for Black and Brown students? Please tell us about that, because this is
so this is hot off the press. I haven't spoken a lot about this, but for the last few months, I've actually been in development on a mobile application with in collaboration with Santa Clara University and their amazing School of Engineering. And we're really designing a mobile application that's going to do that very same thing that I was talking to you about, that through line, creating that ecosystem so that schools can really move from low performing to becoming great schools. And it's really about community. And so I'm excited about all the amazing work that we've done so far. Every time I meet with the team, they've taken the app so much further, and I'm super impressed. And I'm like, I can't wait for the world to experience this, because I think we have something rich and something that I think is going to make a huge impact in the educational space.
That's awesome.
Because we'll say this, Jay. Okay. Most of the tech, and I'm probably gonna go out here on a limb.
Uh huh.
But what we're going to see is that EdTech, in all its glory, mm-hmm. has not really moved the needle for Black children when it comes to achievement. And that's because it has not been designed by real educators. Oftentimes, mm. it's been designed by folks who are really not entrenched in the system, who really mm. have not had experience working with students who look like Kima.
Right?
And so partly who look like Jay. Right. And so part mm-hmm. now, what I think my mobile app has the power to do is, I've been in education and I've taught in the high need schools. Mm-hmm. And so I know what works. And so look out. We're excited for what's to come with that.
I'm so excited for you, Kimai, because I just, for you to be working in partnership with USC and to be working with LAUSD, my violin teacher who taught me how to sight read and play the strings, mm-hmm. Mr. Taylor, may he rest in peace. He was a LAUSD teacher.
Yes.
He was very yes. dear to my heart. So I understand what pedigree, those teachers do not play.
No.
At all.
And there's so many unsung heroes. Mm-hmm. So many amazing teachers who I work with, who sometimes just aren't given voice, oftentimes who aren't given a platform, and oftentimes go into their one classroom and shut the door and just make the magic happen.
Right.
So when I work with schools, my job is to let everybody inside that magic.
Right. And I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm definitely going to connect you with as many people that I know, because as a mother, as a PTA board member, as just a
consumer, come on, PTA board member. That's right.
Yes. I'm going into my second year being the secretary of my son's PTA board. I am just passionate about our babies, our children. They need so much love and concern.
And that's when we center kids. Joy and wellness, when we center that first. People often ask me, I think the most gratifying thing when I work with my students, I love working with administrators, I love working with educators, but mm-hmm. my heart is when I get in there and I still go into these schools and teach lessons. I just finished a math lab at an elementary and a middle school. So I still do this work. I'm doing all of these things in all of these different places, but I always make sure that I have my touch point and touch time with kids. And the highest compliment that I always get is when a kid runs up to me and hugs me. It's like, Dr. Wilson. And then their next question is, where you been? I miss you. That is the highest compliment to me, because it lets me know that I've developed an amazing rapport with them. And because of that, now we can do some amazing things. So I had a question. I almost was in tears, Zay, right? I was having some third graders, and we were studying the concept of area. Okay. And we had gotten to this stop point, and I said, so next time I see y'all, I said, y'all got to tell me what we mean when we're talking about length. What do we mean when we're talking about width? And so literally the next class, taught in the next session I had them, they all come in and say, Dr. Wilson, we got your answers. Because I said, just talk to people, have conversations with people, and you should have saw the excitement these third graders had by just telling me all the rich conversations they had within the last few days that I didn't see them. about, they were getting ready to just tell me all this amazing stuff that they learned about length and width. And I said, you can ask your teacher. I said, but she's not going to tell you because she's on my team. She's not going to give you the answer, but she's going to leave. And so, you know, shout out to Miss Drake. But yeah, and so they were so excited to just tell me, we found out what area was. And we did it all using cubes.
Wow. I have to say that that collaborative answer seeking, those conversation, that's a collegiate skill set that many people do not get. And you are so creative. You are so creative and a visionary. I'm just so pleased to have met you. And I'm so pleased that LAUSD, USC is working with you to get your methodologies out to the masses. I'm gonna do my part, see if I can get you connected to the PTA so we could spread this and get you connected to edpost.com, because our children, our teachers need this information to be empowered, because that's one of the reasons why I was able to go to MIT, besides the grace of God.
Come through MIT, yes, come.
Besides the grace of God, I had teachers that I connected with, that I could talk to, that just sparked this passion to learn and to understand in me. And you know, these teachers, like I had one teacher who would always write, show your work on the board in junior high. And I told her, just write SYW. And she's been doing that ever since she had me until she retired. Mm-hmm. And you know, just little things like that. When teachers are able to connect and listen to and see their students, it makes a big impression.
Yeah, and Zay, it's fortunate that, and so I fight for the people like you in the world, and then I also fight for the people like me who can't name a teacher after elementary that had an impact on my life. I can't name one. I can name you Miss Wesley, and I can name you Miss Scobie, and then after that, that's all couched in elementary, and after that, I can't name you one that had an impact on my life. And so yeah. I really fight.
I remember my favorite teachers like and my not so favorite teachers.
Yeah.
That's who I remember.
Yeah. And I have those that I'm like, oh, if you could see me now. You know what I mean? And so sometimes I run into people just because I'm all over the place. But it does my heart good because there's just a lot of moving pieces that I think about. You know, my parents divorced when I was young. And so a lot of people had doubts of, you're a black man from a single mom, you ain't gonna make it. There were all of these different pieces that I had to fight. And I remember, I always take all of that with me. So when I interact with kids, whether they come from a two-parent home or a single-parent home, or, you know, great aunt is taking care of them, grandparents are taking care of them, a foster whatever the situation is, no matter what the family structure, no matter, I believe everybody's a scholar and everybody can win. And so I just try to create environments that makes that happen.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Kimai.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I said your name right that time.
Yes.
I said it right. Yeah, I just
fun.
Yeah, I want to thank you for coming on the SEO Queen Tech Show. This is a podcast to help the listeners get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, don't forget you can go on SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session with the SEO Queen herself, moi, Zeeland Renta Scott. And don't forget, have your face in the place or on the Zoom on Saturday, July 22nd. We are going to be having our, I believe it's our fourth annual Reach More Clients Power Conference. We're going to be talking about how to use AI, how to do on-page SEO, how to do off-page SEO, and how to further automate and expedite your content creation for your website so that you get more customers, clients, and revenue online. Well, I am just so excited to have had the founder and chief education officer of Equation to Success as my guest on today. You can connect with him online at equation2success.com or on Instagram at the same, which is equation2success. So make sure you follow him back, support what he's doing with these babies. And I just as a parent, as a community member, it's so important, especially with these extenuating circumstances with COVID, that we all take an interest in get involved with the education of our children as we move on to the future, because this is serious. They need to learn these skills so that they can compete not only in the United States economy, but the global economy. We are all connected. We are all one planet, all one people. And I thank you for listening. And until next time.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app, allow push notifications, and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.